Oh, that's a good rendition.
I'm just showing off because I remembered it.
That was a really good rendition. I'm proud of
Normally
you.
I can't, thank you. Normally I can't recall it, but there it is.
It was brilliant.
It was a little bit lackluster, I think. I think I could have put a little bit more
I dug it.
oomph into it. Thank you. Maybe we'll call it the unplugged version.
I'm sitting here terrified, waiting for this cat to lunge at my face. It's gonna happen, and I don't know when, and this little cat has me terrified for my life.
He looks absolutely adorable. He looks like he wouldn't harm a fly. However, I have seen him lunge at your face, like
Yes.
literally clap either side of your face and bite down. So I know
Yeah.
fully what he's capable of. And I'm not gonna lie, I'm scared for you.
Yeah, is it like nerve-wracking watching, just like not knowing
Yeah.
when it's gonna
You know,
happen?
like
Yeah.
when you're watching a thriller or a horror movie, and you know that something bad is going to happen. You can hear the sinister music, and you're just waiting for it. I feel like that's what it's like.
It's gonna happen. I know it is.
The thing is, he looks so content sitting there
Oh
with
God.
his look. See, now he's looking at your face. Now I'm
I
worried.
know, I know. I know. He's like gauging me out. He's measuring me up and down.
You tried feeding him? Like, is he hungry? Is he like looking at you like you're fresh meat? Like, what's
Do you
the issue here?
want something to eat? Do you want me to get you something to eat? Or are you still gonna lunge at my face?
I think he might still lunge at your face. I think he thinks you're a
Probably.
snack.
I am kind of a snack.
Oh, God.
Okay, you just lay down. Now he's.
I can hear him purring. See, this is the thing. He seems really content, but I've seen him turn on a dime.
Hey, don't bite. Hey.
Oh, here he goes.
Yep.
Or.
No, we're not playing that game. You're done with cuddles now. I don't. Oh, he got me too. Dang it. Okay.
Can we call it a love bite? Or like.
Yeah, the first one was definitely a love bite. It didn't hurt, but the second one hurt.
Oof.
Oh, it's bleeding. Yep.
Oh, nice.
Well, at least we got the bite out of the way.
At least it happened early.
Yeah. Hopefully, I don't have to worry now, unless he comes out of
Tiffany
nowhere.
is marked safe from Rosie. Did you want to tell people why you've got a boy cat and he's called Rosie?
Well, because we thought he was a girl, and then when we took him to the vet to get him spayed, they told us he was a boy, and Abraham refuses to change his name. And Josh was like, it really bothered him that he had a girl name for some reason and that he's a boy. And so he told the whole family that his name is Roosevelt, and Rosie is, I guess, a nickname for Roosevelt from like the 1800s. So Roosevelt, aka Rosie, because Abraham refuses to change the name. It will not happen.
Hey, I'm all for it.
So I know it didn't bother me. I'm like, why does it matter? It's the cat doesn't know.
Yeah, the cat knows neither what his gender is
No
or that
clue.
his name is associated with
With gender,
girl
yeah,
cats. Yeah.
doesn't whatever. Doesn't bother me at all. Rosie can be,
And
I still call Rosie she, so
again, Rosie don't care.
no. I'm like, she bit me. And Josh is like, he. And I'm like, whatever. I don't care.
Look, we don't
So.
know how Rosie identifies.
I
You're just
know.
assuming that Rosie
Yeah.
identifies as a boy because he has boy parts.
Don't
We
put
don't
your
know.
agenda on the cat. Leave
Exactly.
the cat out of it.
Maybe that's why you keep getting bitten. Maybe.
Yeah, he needs to stop because I'm the one getting bit. And I'm on your side, Rosie.
Oh, man. Well, look, Tiffany is now marked safe from Rosie.
I am. I'm still terrified he's going to lunge at me because sometimes he'll come midair, like onto the couch.
That has happened to me once. Tiffany and I were just having a discussion that I have one cat who is the light of my life and is beautiful and soft and sweet and all things wonderful. And the other one is just frankly an asshole. And his name's Archie, so we call him Archhole. But yeah, I was just saying to Tiffany, like, that Archie's kind of mean too, although he hasn't broken my skin as many times as Rosie has yours. But that happened one time. So Archie has figured out that the movement that is generated by a hand emanates at the shoulder. And he likes to
Oh.
play on our bed with us, because I guess it's big and it's soft. And I was waggling a toy on the bed, and I could see it, like, in his face. I could see him working things out, and I could see that it wasn't going to end well for me, because I was waggling the toy and he was watching my hand, and then his eyes kind of moved up to my elbow and then kind of moved up to my shoulder, and he went into the crouch position, and I thought, I'm gonna get bit real bad. I'm not normally this quick in thinking or in movement, to be perfectly honest, but I kind of saw it, anticipated what he was going to do, and shifted my body to the side really, really quickly as he launched for my shoulder. And he went straight past me, obviously, because I'd moved, and whacked into the bedroom wall, like, went straight behind me and kind of splattered against the wall. And I shouldn't laugh, but it would have been me if it wasn't him. And it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. He was fine, I should say that.
Yeah.
No animals were harmed.
No animals were injured.
No, but it was one of the funniest things that I have ever witnessed in my life. Was because it was like a cartoon, just poof, against the
Yeah,
wall. Like,
splatting, yeah.
yeah. And then, like, the look on his face afterwards, like, what the hell happened? What?
You
What?
moved.
Yeah. And then I
You
was
weren't
trying to,
supposed
like,
to do that.
no, exactly. It wasn't what he'd planned out at all. And then I was trying to tell Julia about it, and, like, every time I saw it in my head, I just laughed too much to get it out.
Yeah.
And it was about an hour and a half before I could actually, like, gather myself to actually tell her what happened.
That's funny.
Yeah. But
That's
yeah,
always
that's the
funny
only
when
time I've
something
been
is like,
lunged at.
when something's so funny, but you can't stop laughing to tell the person because you keep picturing it in your head. Yeah, I've had that happen.
Oh dear. But I was a little bit concerned then that he was going in for round two, but it looks like,
Yeah, he's laying down now, peeking around the laptop. I don't know if you can see him.
oh, look at him. He looks like butter wouldn't melt. Look at that angel.
Yeah.
I don't know about Rosie. You should call him Dr. Jekyll.
Seriously.
Good grief. Do you see what I did there? See
I
what I
did.
did there?
I did, yeah.
Good grief. Yeah, I've had better. But here we go. We're 20% of the way through the season now.
Oh, that's a bummer.
It's a bummer. Season 7, episode 2 aired on the 21st of the 3rd, 24. This one was written by Megan Plunkett, who we spoke about before when we were doing our season 6 recaps. She got on board in season 3, where she wrote 2 episodes. Then she was the story editor for season 4 and also wrote episode 6, Train in Vain, which is the one where Andrea is stabbed. She was the executive story editor for season 5, and she wrote Little Girl Blue and When the Party's Over. So I think that Little Girl Blue is the Thanksgiving episode, and When the Party's Over is the one where Andy turns up at the station after her assault. And if you remember last time, we discovered that she was credited as one of the two screenwriters for Stefania Spampinato's short, Zita
Yes, I do remember that.
Semprì. And talking of Stefania, that's
Stefania.
just reminded me, she is Italian.
She is Italian.
And
She's also known as the Italian goddess.
she is in certain circles. And one of her fellow countrywomen wrote to us yesterday, and I'd completely forgotten. And I even had the email open, and then I think I was so traumatized by the cast attack,
It's okay.
threw me
I was
threw
too.
me off. But Gloria wrote to us.
Oh, I love Gloria. She's so sweet.
Gloria, Gloria, you're always on the run now. Na, na, na.
Look at you,
Really don't
Gloria.
remember.
You're getting serenaded by Melissa.
I can't see or hear the name Gloria without hearing Gloria.
Oh,
And I think that that's how everyone called Gloria should actually announce themselves to people. I mean, it'd make life more interesting, would it not?
I would love
I'm a little bit hyper today. I apologize. It's the lack of sleep.
it. I'm with you 100%. I think we got
My
about the
body
same.
overcompensates. So I'm like a 3-year-old hopped up on sugar. I apologize. Anyway, Gloria says that she's catching up on all episodes of the podcast, including the one where we read her email. And she says that we are now able to officially call her. She is the official translator now for the podcast.
Perfect. I'm glad we have one.
Yeah, of Dr. Karina DeLuca's rants. And she also says that she was so ready to hear me read the part in Italian, and she's asked me to do so. That's not happening today, let me tell you that. But I was really stoked because Gloria said that she's heard me say a few words and that my pronunciation is not bad at all.
Oh,
Get that?
look at
Yeah.
you.
I know, I'm stoked. Like, our official translator saying that my pronunciation isn't bad. And she said that the way that I pronounce, I'm going to say it deliberately badly now, but the way that I pronounce spampinato, that's the English way, but how I pronounce spampinato makes her understand that I know some Italian.
Awesome.
Yeah, so thanks, love. I did know some Italian. I was learning Italian because we had a 5-year plan to move to Italy, but my Italian dropped off the edge of a cliff. And I haven't done any
And
Italian for about 9 months.
the 5-year plan, is that still?
It's tentative because Julia wants to move to Spain now instead, and I'm just not feeling it.
Oh,
Yeah, I
okay.
know.
Just gonna stay in the UK for now then.
Yeah, well, it's still a 5-year plan to move somewhere that's not here. But we're in deliberations over whether it's going to be an Italian island or if it's going to be somewhere in Spain. But
The Rhine and Spine lies
Spain's
mainly
mainly on the
on
plain. Your
the
pronunciation isn't bad either, Tiffany. It's not bad either.
Oh, thank you, love.
You're welcome, love. Gloria then addresses you, Tiffany, and says, thank you for your kind words and that you made her let out an oar while she was walking the horses back and forth. And she hopes that there'll be further opportunities for you to meet in the future.
Me too.
And she's asked if we're going to a convention this year. She is not. But are you
You
going
know,
to go to one this year?
I'm considering Milan if I can get the money together. I'm not sure. So if I do go to Milan, her and I will have to meet up, even though she's not going to the con.
I think that sounds like a plan.
Yes.
And what else? What else? Oh, yeah. What do we think of how Marina are being written this season? Because Gloria says that at the minute we've just got the smallest crumbs ever, and she doesn't understand how the writers can sort of treat Marina like this when they're the only couple in a strong, healthy marriage.
I agree that the writing is kind of scant when it comes to Marina. I'm hoping that changes.
Yeah.
But I do agree with Gloria. I've made that observation as well. And it is a little bit difficult because Marina is a, you know, one of the most beloved assets of the show. And it's difficult to understand what the angle is and where it's going to go. And, you know, having Peter Page as a showrunner, he's such a Marina fan. I'm hoping that it'll start to be displayed for us in the in the near future.
I think it will. I think it's got time to pick up because they've obviously got the baby now, so I'm sure they'll cover that off. And Karina, it looks like, is going to be going through some things in her professional life. So I think it'll pick up. But Gloria says that there's the questionable hetero couple that triggers her in every sense, and she said that Sullivan is a walking red flag and is toxic. And she doesn't understand how they think that they're writing the writers think they're writing the couple well.
That's so funny.
What do you think about that?
It has been weird. The relationship is extremely different than it used to be, and I'm not sure, so sure that I'm a fan of it anymore. So we'll see where it goes.
And she's also hoping for a little bit more spiciness between Maya and Karina now that we're at the 10 p.m. slot, because she says that the queer male-loving male couple, and they've had two spicy
Yes.
scenes in two episodes. She said, and here we
I
are
have.
praying for a kiss.
Yeah, and a lot of people are nervous about that because they have the baby now. And so they're nervous that that's going to kind of be non-existent because of the baby. But I agree. I've kind of wondered that too. I'm like, all right, well, Travis is getting it. How come Marina's not getting it? So
Because they're
I've
tired,
had the
Tiffany. They're
same.
tired.
Yeah, they are. No, I've had the same thought, Gloria. So we'll see.
Don't mind. I think it's kind of about where you are in your relationship and stuff as well, right? Like Travis and Emmett haven't got it on for quite some time. And so there's that sort of, it's opportunistic and it's exciting. And, you know, because it's illicit, there's that aspect to it. Whereas Maya and Karina are settling into domesticity, and so they perhaps are not feeling as hormonal. But I think
They don't want to
they don't want to get it on. They're tired, man. But I think that's
get it
quite it's probably quite kind of realistic.
Yeah.
But also, you know, I mean, as you know, I'm child free, so but I'm fairly confident. Are you okay to shove children in a cupboard just for an hour or so? You can do that, right?
Oh my God.
If it's a big enough
Yes.
cupboard, you can
This
just
is
shove
why
them
you
right
don't.
in.
This is why you, no, this is why you don't have kids.
You can put it in like a basket or something so that
You
it's
just referred to it as it. You want to put it in a basket.
them.
This is getting worse
You can put
as
them
we
in a
go.
basket. Is that better? But
I guess so.
yeah. That'd be fine. They can just wait, well, if we're going to talk about them specifically, then I will gender their child. They can just put him in a basket and put him in a cupboard for an hour or so, right? Like that's, I think that's permissible, just for an hour.
I don't think that's a thing, Melissa. I don't think that's
Oh,
a thing.
but he can't get into trouble. He can't hurt himself, can he? In the cupboard, and it's.
What is this, Harry Potter?
I've never seen Harry Potter or read any of the books. Is that?
They kept him in a cupboard under the stairs.
Maybe he deserved it. I don't
No. Good God, let's change the subject. This is getting worse. Before you get reported.
I would just like to point out that I have been a stalwart presence in many children's lives. And
I'm questioning you as being an aunt to my children now.
this is all very much in jest. I would never put a child in a cupboard. I'm a very loving. I'm a very kind of loving caregiver of children. This is all just for laughs. Before,
Thanks for the disclaimer.
yeah, little disclaimer in there. I'm actually really good with kids, so I apologize for any offense caused. Anyway, I'm sure there's a safe place they can put said baby if they
They
feel
really want to
refreshed enough to actually bother to do anything more strenuous than shower.
Yes. Which they could totally get it on in the shower.
They could get it on in the shower, but well, they've been there, done that, and also
I know, but I'm just saying that that's a time and a place that they could totally get that done.
yeah, they could, yeah, and it would be very efficient because they could use the time to both get clean and get dirty.
Yes, exactly. See, now we're on the same
Yeah,
page.
absolutely. Except I still have issues with shower sex, but that's my issue. I shouldn't put it on them. That's fine.
If they're digging it, then
Yeah. Maybe they like being waterboarded. Maybe that's one of their kinks. I don't
Yeah, I'm not a big fan
No, it's deeply unpleasant. Shall
that.
we try and get this crazy train back on the tracks?
Yeah, let's do that.
Thanks, Gloria. Love you to
On
bits.
the
Thank you.
crazy train. Yeah, thanks for where you took us with that. We got
So,
some singing in. We got
yeah,
some.
some good discussion points. I like it.
And I made a salami sandwich.
Oh, I want a salami sandwich.
I'll make you one if you're here.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome.
Right. This one was directed by Tessa Blake. This was her fifth directing credit. She directed two episodes in season two, which was Home to Hold On To and For Whom the Bell Tolls. Then she did episode 6 of season 3, Ice Ice Baby, and season 5, episode 11, The Little Things You Do Together.
Ice Ice Baby.
I had that in my head as well. So bad. Oh God, we're going to be a nightmare when we're in the same room.
It's going to be a blast. Oh, yeah. I can't wait.
So, shall we jump in?
Let's do it.
Shall we start with Travis again? Okay, Tiffany's nodding because she's got a mouthful of salami sandwich, so that is permissible to nod at this time. Don't wave your sandwich in front of me and tease me with your sandwich like that. That's so mean.
You want a bite?
Oh, so you've got some cheese in there as well. Was that cheese?
Yeah, Colby Jack.
Ah!
Now you really want it, don't you?
Yeah. Look how meaty I'll make you that one. Is. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I'll make sure I have salami when you're here so I can make you one.
Nom, 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 nom. Right. Back on track, Melissa. No, I'm going to look at my notes and not look at your sandwich. Okay. So Travis is in for a very awkward day because he is once again at the Dixon household. This time it is for Michael Dixon's wake. Eli's come with him because he's there to represent the mayor. And there is a super cringy exchange when Emmett opens the door and Travis tries to avoid introducing Eli as his boyfriend and stammers. And then Eli ends up introducing himself as Travis's Eli. Then Eli and Travis offer pleasant platitudes about Dixon, to which Emmett replies that everybody knows that his dad was a bit of a dick. And then Eli says that he likes Emmett for that. And then Emmett and Eli both say they've heard good things about each other from Travis. And eventually Emmett remembers his manners and says that he should probably invite them in.
Which I don't think either of them has heard anything about the other one.
Do you not?
No.
Inside, Travis apologizes to Emmett for Eli being there, saying that he didn't realize that he'd have to turn up for work purposes. And he tells Emmett that their encounter in the previous episode should never have happened. And Emmett agrees, saying that Travis looks happy and he doesn't want to mess it up before he makes his excuses and leaves, goes and mingles. Eli then comes over and asks Travis if he wants to sneak out with him, but Travis says that he's going to stay a bit longer. I'm sorry, I'm so distracted because this is the funniest thing. Tiffany's trying to eat her sandwich and she's literally getting mugged by a cat.
I know, I'm like trying to hurry up and eat it. No, it's my sandwich.
Just out of the corner of my eye, I can just see every time the sandwich goes towards your mouth, so does the cat.
Mm-hmm.
This is very amusing to me. Anyway, Travis says that he's going to stay a bit longer and he stands around awkwardly and it appears as if he's actually scanning the room for Emmett.
It does.
Yeah.
I agree.
Kitty hands him a couple of empty plates and asks him if he'll help clear up, calling him Trevor, obviously. And then he bumps into Emmett in the kitchen and their hands accidentally touch. So then they head straight to
and
the pantry.
And glaze over.
Sorry?
All right. And their eyes glaze each other's contact.
Oh.
I was just adding for dramatic effect.
Yeah. So you sounded like you were audio describing like a Jilly Cooper novel or something.
That's what I was going for.
Excellent. Yeah, well, you hit the mark. So they head to the pantry. They at least lock the door this time. Mm-hmm. And then other parts of their bodies then touch very much on purpose. Afterwards, Emmett jokes that he's corrupting Travis this time because the first time round, Emmett was in a relationship when they started sleeping together. But Travis says that this is different. And Emmett then is sort of forced to apologize for saying that. But Travis leaves looking quite forlorn, bumping into Kitty in the kitchen, who now asks him to do a bit of furniture wrangling. So he and Emmett take Kitty's very specific direction about the placement of an armchair.
I would have just put the chair, like, you're done. I'm not moving this chair anymore.
Oh, God. See, the thing is that I would be Kitty. That's the issue.
I'd be like, nope, we're done.
My OCD would not allow that chair to go back a centimeter adrift of where it started. I would just be having palpitations and sweats if it wasn't exactly where I'd left it. In fact, I probably wouldn't have allowed anyone to move it in the first place. I'd have been like, none of the furniture moves. Everything stays where it is. Make sure there are coasters. But yeah, so they put the armchair back, and then Travis says he should get going, but Emmett doesn't want to let him go. And as Travis starts to walk away, he calls out that it was good to see him, which kind of stops Travis from reaching the front door. And then Travis and Kitty have a truly beautiful moment, I think, where she fixes his tie and tells him that that's what she used to do for Dick. And then she... Mm-hmm. I think gives Travis something that he needed quite badly, which is that she tells him that she knows that he did all he could.
Yes.
Then she calls him a good man and tells him that Dick really did like him. And then she pointedly calls him Travis. Then Travis and Emmett exchange longing looks. And then Emmett really wants to say something to keep Travis there, but ultimately he lets him go.
Yes. Good job.
Thanks. So, poor Eli.
Sorry, that was funny. Just big old description then. Poor Eli.
Poor Eli. Because he was really sweet and really supportive. And the way he gave Travis a little kiss on the cheek before Emmett opened the front door. And then he was so lovely to Emmett, so nice to Emmett, completely unaware that they'd cheated on him days before.
Yeah. Yeah,
and they just
and are about to again.
Yeah, and I think this time Travis's behavior crossed the line in so many ways.
Yeah,
I think I was just too quick to excuse him last week. To be honest, I gave him the benefit of the doubt last week.
I was thinking
that he did what he did partly for Emmett, you know, and trying to. I mean, in an entirely inappropriate way when you're in a relationship, don't get me wrong. But I think he was trying to somehow, like, I thought anyway, that he was trying to somehow help Emmett through his grief.
Right.
But it's really obvious from this encounter that even if that was part of his motivation in the last episode, this episode, it's just all about his sexual gratification.
Yep.
Arguably, maybe there's a little bit of emotional gratification in there as well.
I agree with that.
But really, it just goes to show that last week had nothing to do with trying to help Emmett and everything to do with wanting sexy time.
Yes.
And also, he clearly wasn't planning on Eli being there, was he? And when Eli says, I'm going to go now, he's like very quick to say, oh, I'm going to stay.
And then, like you said, scanning the room for... Emmett.
So I think it was a foregone conclusion in Travis's mind that he and Emmett were going to go for round two.
Yes, it was already planned, like premeditated.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, I'm glad that I'm not just thinking badly of him and that you agree.
No, I do agree. And I love Travis, but he's just, he's not making good decisions right now.
No, because he's thinking with his pee-pee and not with his heart and his head.
Yes, I agree.
And I also think that he and Emmett have got something quite special. Like, it's all been a bit dysfunctional and it wasn't brilliant last time around. And I think that that maybe had something to do with the way that they got into the relationship, that Travis probably felt like he'd been duped because he didn't know that he was helping Emmett to cheat, did he? So that probably made him feel a bit rubbish. And then, obviously, Emmett not being out, and then that kind of triggering Travis. So I think I think that their relationship kind of, because it was built on such rocky ground, like that's why it crumbled. But I do think they've got something quite special. But then just don't cheat on Eli. Just tell Eli that, be honest, just say, look, seeing Emmett again is bringing up a lot of stuff, and I don't really understand it, but I don't feel right seeing you when I'm having thoughts and feelings for someone else. Just do that.
Yes.
And then get it on in the cupboard.
Oh, instead of putting the baby in the cupboard, you go in the cupboard.
Oh, that's it. There you go. They hold on. So flipping it back to Maya and Karina.
Yes.
They did get it on in the cupboard before the party, or at least started to get it on in the cupboard before the party in the finale, didn't they? Looking at outfits.
Yes.
So actually, that's a really convenient place for them to get it on, and then that avoids child cruelty as well.
Yes,
Good thinking. Well
we
done
figured it
you.
out.
Well done you.
Thanks.
Quite welcome. But yeah, so I'm a bit disappointed in our Trav, to be honest.
Yeah. Come on, Travis.
And when he said to Emmett, "Oh, well, this is different," when Emmett said, "Oh, I was the cheaty cheater some last time," and he says, "Well, yeah, but this is different." I'm not entirely sure why Travis thinks it's different.
I'm not either. I disagreed with that statement.
Yeah.
I mean, just because it was a woman he was cheating on, it doesn't matter. You're still cheating.
Yeah, and does Travis think it's different because Emmett was engaged and he's just seeing Eli? Or is it because, as you say, like Emmett was in the closet and so it's not like he was cheating on his fiance with another woman? Or is it because there's no prospect of anything blossoming into a relationship with Emmett because Emmett's overseas now, so he just thinks that it's like a quick, like there's no harm done? Or does he think it doesn't count because they're exes? And so if you've already been there, it doesn't matter if you go there again. Is he saying that he and Eli aren't exclusive? I have so many questions, Travis, as to why you think it is different this time.
I concur.
Yeah,
I agree 100%. I have no idea
no.
how he can see that
How he thinks it's different. Oh, thank God you've nearly finished that sandwich and the drama's
it's
nearly
been rough.
over. At least Travis does have the good grace to feel guilty, though. He has
Yes.
a really guilty look on his face when Kitty calls him a good man. And although we haven't got to that bit yet, but back at the station near the end of the episode, Andy tells Travis that he's a better man than all of them, and then he looks even
And he,
worse.
yeah, he does.
Yeah, so I mean, at least he feels bad about it.
Question is he gonna come clean to Eli?
Well, it doesn't look like he's come clean in the next episode because
No,
I saw
I agree.
some photographs of like behind the
Some
scenes
stills.
stills. Yeah, I actually went on Twitter.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, it was for 10 seconds and I literally looked at a couple of stills and then left again. But yeah, but it looks like he's at the Pride Parade thing with Eli and he's not bleeding. So I assume that he hasn't told Eli
Yeah.
yet.
Yeah.
But I think Emmett wants more, don't you?
Yes, I do.
And it makes me
100%.
sad because I feel like Emmett and
Yeah.
Travis end game. And Travis clearly doesn't think a great deal of Eli if he's cheating on him, so.
Is Emmett, he's not in any more episodes, is he? That was his, he was only in two episodes,
I
wasn't he?
don't know. I don't know, to be honest. And I thought that
Okay.
maybe he, because he was on a show in Australia on Netflix called, oh, something to do with wellness. Wellmania, I think it was called. I watched a couple of them and then stopped because Julia wasn't really into it, and we barely get any time together, so I'm not going to sit there and watch a show that she's not into. So we binned it. Sorry, Lachlan, that's the only reason why I blame my missus. It's her fault. But yeah, and I thought, oh, maybe he flew in, did that, and then had to go back to shoot more Wellmania. But it's been cancelled, so that's not it.
Oh,
But
okay.
maybe he got another show. I don't know. Or maybe he hasn't.
Maybe.
Maybe they're just tricking us, and then in the finale, he's gonna say, "I binned off Italy for rainy, rainy Seattle, just for you, Travis
For
Montgomery."
you. Yep. Dun dun
Dun
dun.
dun dun. One can dream.
We'll see what
We'll see
happens.
what
Now we
happens.
got theories out there.
Any more about Travis?
No. Shameful Travis.
Just, we're very disappointed in you, Travis Montgomery. We're not angry, we're just disappointed.
Which is worse?
Yes, it is. Shall we talk about some Irish grief?
In its most drunken
In
form.
its most drunken form. So it is Beckett's first day out of rehab and his re-entry into his old life is going to be a baptism of fire, because it is Uncle Vinny's funeral and the wake is in what appears to be an Irish pub, which is never good. Vic has gone with him for moral support, and Beckett asks her if she's ever attended an Irish wake before, which she has not, and so he tells her to gird her loins. Inside, everyone appears to already be half cut, and Beckett's obnoxious cousin James Sr. and then cousin James's son James Jr. come to greet him, and James Sr. tells Beckett that he looks like crap and then asks if Vic is his new wife, saying that she's a smoke show. And I mean, I'm not going to disagree, but slightly inappropriate. And is well out of Beckett's league, before then saying that that Vic is cute but not too bright, because she's brought flowers to their wake, causing her to ask Beckett if this is where he gets his charm from.
Nope.
Vic and Beckett decide to shoot some pool when James comes along and orders Beckett a whiskey, despite him saying that he really doesn't want one. And then he makes fun of Beckett's prayer beads, asking if he's joined a cult or is just trying to impress his girlfriend. Vic and Beckett both again say that she's not his girlfriend, at which point there's a little bit more casual harassment from James Sr., who says it's a pity because she'd make real pretty babies.
Yeah.
Again, not disagreeing, but so very inappropriate.
Yes.
When the whiskies arrive, Beckett explains that the reason he doesn't want one is that he's fresh out of rehab, at which point both James's senior and junior literally laugh hysterically at him, and James Sr. says that they really have lost him to a cult. Next up to be inappropriate and offensive is Cousin Gracie, who asks Beckett if she needs to ask him what his pronouns are on seeing him drink out of a glass with an umbrella in it, which Vic did to elevate his soda water experience for him. And on hearing that he's sober, Gracie then decides to take him through some of his greatest drunken hits, which Vic sweetly interjects and says he's trying to put behind him. But Gracie says if he can't laugh about his past, how is he going to stay sober? Before offering up that she too is sober, with her wake-up call coming when she was banned from doing the school pickup because she turned up topless.
I can't imagine being in AB's picking him up from school and there's a woman topless. Like, I just can't imagine.
I probably shouldn't say this, but well, I guess I won't be revealing anything about anybody, so I can probably get away with it. It's fine. I actually know of a child. She's a looked after child. She's in the care system, and
okay,
her mother went to a soft play with her kids, drunk and without a bra on, and decided to do a handstand in the middle of the soft play. And so obviously her top went down, which is up, yeah, if you're upside down.
Yeah.
Revealed her breasts to the whole soft play thing. And the children are somewhat traumatized by it, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that was probably written to be funny, and we're probably supposed to kind of find it hilarious that was Gracie's, mm-hmm, you know, I turned up topless.
Yeah.
But when you hear that has happened to somebody in drink in real life, and the real life effect that it has on the kids.
Yeah, it's totally different.
It's less amusing. I didn't find it funny at all. Because it took me back to that. No.
Yeah.
Ugh, it was all just quite different.
What do you guys think? Let us know.
Yeah,
do you guys thought that was funny, or if you were like, yeah, that's not cool. Let us know what you think.
Yeah. Beckett's offensive cousin James then makes a speech about how his dad was always down for a good time, whilst James Jr. is chasing Beckett's glass around with a whiskey bottle. That bit was funny, to be fair. He's determined to get some drink into Beckett despite being told that he's in recovery. That part not funny. It was just the actual kind of the way it was done, where Beckett was snaking his glass around.
I agree, but
that was. Yeah. That was funny, but in the context of the fact that he's not respecting his recovery, not funny.
That was not cool.
I'm just saying the acting and the directing was good.
Yes.
So Then Gracie quietly interrupts James's speech, saying that it was a good time that killed Uncle Vinny, and that the truth of the matter is that Uncle Vinny abandoned the family and drank himself to death. So then James accuses her of being high and mighty with all her sober bullcrap and getting pissed because she can't handle a couple of beers without turning into a truck stop tramp. That was a nice turn of phrase. And then this sort of very quickly escalates into a bar fight, resulting in Junior getting a very bloody nose, which again his father finds hilarious. Senior gives Junior a shot of whiskey for the pain, and Junior acts like a big baby, saying it's gross, when Vic gets him some tampons from the ladies' room to pack his nose with. But then we can see why he would have that attitude when Gracie starts mocking him, saying, "Look who became a woman today." And his dad's taking photographs on his phone. But an ambulance is called because Junior's nosebleed needs to be cauterized. And in an act that makes my eyes water, like just thinking about it, Senior then heats up a bar spoon with a blowtorch and decides to cauterize his son's nose there and then. Just horrific. And then Vic and Beckett leave, with Beckett realizing that he may have to give up his family now that he's given up drink. And Vic asks him to be her right hand at Crisis One, but he doesn't think it's a genuine offer and thinks it's just her trying to make him feel like he's part of the team. So she just looks him dead in the eye and says, "Do it or don't," and walks away.
Yep. Good for her.
Yeah.
I think she's learning how to handle Beckett. She's learning his characteristics and personality.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm just like a bit torn with this block, because there were parts of it that were funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like with Junior trying to get whiskey in the glass and sort of the moving it around and stuff. And bits of it are kind of funny in isolation, like the casual sexism and the misogyny and the stuff. But it's funny because I guess it is an old cliche. And it was written in such a way that it shows that it is an old cliche and that it's outdated. And I guess Vic and Beckett's responses every time, like, "No, not my girlfriend. No, not my wife." Like, and then they kind of made it funny. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if the whole thing was overplayed for laughs a bit, considering the seriousness of the situation for Beckett.
Mm-hmm.
And also for how stern and serious he was throughout.
Yeah.
I think it felt like it was two separate scenes, but not deliberately. Like, I think that there's sometimes scenes written where it's very obvious that both people in the scene are having a completely different experience of the situation.
Okay.
So I think an example of that is in the bedroom when Maya and Karina are arguing over Karina taking the pregnancy test, and and they're both having completely different conversations, but it's still having completely different experiences of that conversation, but there was still a connection there. But this seemed like it was completely dissonant for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because Beckett is so kind of stern and so serious, and that side of it is written in such a serious way.
Right.
And then the other side is written in such an over-the-top way. And I think maybe if they hadn't made Beckett's family so OTT and hadn't tried to make it so outrageous, it maybe would have worked better. I don't know.
So you want to reel them in a little bit, the family?
Yeah, I think so. Because I think that you can show that drink and being a little bit out of control is kind of part of their family dynamic without them looking like they've come from the Hangover 6. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think that that was particularly realistic. I think it was very much played in a, in an over the top way. And I think when you're trying to show the seriousness of somebody trying to reintegrate themselves into society and into their sort of family situation and stuff, I think that they should have, no pun intended at all, but I think that they should have sobered it up a little bit, like made it a little bit less like, you know, bar fights and, you know, and vast amounts of whiskey flowing at all times. Like, I think that they could have toned it down a little bit and it would have played better, I think, for me.
Yeah.
Because, I guess from time to time you are going to be in situations similar to that. But it's more like, I think they would have been better served looking at something every day. Like, for example, you know that someone incredibly close to me is a recovering alcoholic. And we used to we used to go to the local pub quite a lot, just because, and I'm not a, like a massive drinker, but we used to go to the local pub in the summer because it's got a really nice big garden, you know, and it's really close to our houses. Well, we couldn't meet there anymore because she couldn't be around alcohol. And when she came to our house for dinner, Julia would cook with wine. Couldn't do that anymore. So like when she was fresh out of rehab, and that was in the summer, we had to try and find things that we could do together where we knew 100% it was going to be a dry place. So I think like the everyday stuff is more complicated, like more is harder than the big raucous parties. It just is. And so I just wish that they hadn't like made it so over the top and made his family so over the top. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was hard to see, at least for me, it was hard to see his recovery being disrespected just constantly.
Yeah.
Like that's all it was that, disrespecting
that's
his
it.
Recovery.
It was just like being whacked over the head with it. And I think that like if they'd have just been a little bit more subtle about it.
Yeah.
Because it is going to be like the subtle things that people don't realize, like, you know, I don't know, like... Yeah, and also, like, I don't know if it was, like, borderline offensive, like, making them Irish and making their whole personality about drinking, which is, like, a little bit of a cliche about Irish people being, like, constantly drunk and out of control. I mean, to be fair, I only know a handful of Irish people, but none of them fit the stereotype of, like, the drinking Irish. So I don't know if I just know very atypical Irish people or if this is just, like, playing into a very easy cliched narrative.
Probably.
But
like lazy writing.
Yeah. And I feel like I've been a little bit of a Debbie Downer, but honestly, like this block just gave me the ick in parts.
Yeah. Understandable for sure. It was, some of it was hard to watch.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anything else that you wanted to say about it?
Nope.
Okay.
Just if you know anybody in recovery, be respectful.
Yeah. Don't be a James senior or junior.
No. No.
Also, even if you think that someone is a smoke show, if it's the first time that you've met them, don't tell them.
Yeah, leave that to yourself.
Yeah.
Leave that comment to yourself.
Inside voice.